Back in 1967, Loring Merwin, the publisher of the Pantograph, founded the Parklands Foundation, an organization that preserves and protects historic natural lands in the Mackinac Valley. It was an act that demonstrated what Parklands board member Matt Fraker calls amazing foresight.
It wasn't really in the late 60s where people were concerned about open space. It wasn't on a lot of people's minds.
Why not?
The environmental urgency wasn't really there in the 60s like we saw in the 70s with when the legislation and everything to take an active environmental protective stance transpired. So for somebody just to decide that, you know, it'd be a really good idea to make sure we have open recreational space in the Bloomington-Normal area was really a tremendous act of foresight on Merwin's part. So he put together a group of people to create this organization. And one of those people is my dad, is one of the attorneys involved. So he goes all the way back to the very roots of both me, I'm turning 50 this year, and of Parklands. So it's a fun to share that birthday. And the original idea was to acquire ground and then hand it off to state agencies or other agencies that dealt with recreational ground. Well, their first purchase, which is still an absolutely phenomenal piece of ground, was the Mackinac State Fish and Wildlife Area over in Tazewell County, an incredible piece of ground. Bluffs over there are huge. The ravines are deep. The plant life, there's endangered plants over there. The nesting birds there are extremely unique and phenomenal for Central Illinois. But they handed that over, and their preferences for how the land should have been used and how they wanted to see it move into the future, they were kind of sort of completely ignored. And that upset Merwin and the crew. So they sort of decided, well, heck, we can do this on our own.
So they decided not to work with the state at all.
Not to become a middleman, not to be someone who would acquire ground and then say, hey, state, here's a really neat park for you. Hey, you know, whoever, here's a really neat park for you. Their area of focus was the Mackinac River, which, again, at the time, the value of the Mackinac River, it may have been circumstantial as much as, hey, this is a really neat river with some neat ground on it. In hindsight, the Mackinac remains one of the most highest quality tribs and the highest quality waterways in the state. Several of its stretches, one up by Henline, which is kind of fascinating because there's a lot of agricultural use up in the upper Mackinac, and yet even with that, the Henline Creek Mackinac area ranks incredibly high with aquatic diversity and water quality. And the other really amazing stretch is where Panther Creek comes in down by in Woodford County. The Panther Creek Mackinac Junction is another place of incredible diversity. Both places actually harbor native northern pike populations, which takes an extremely high level of water quality.
Would we have this diversity? Would we have all these plants and the clean water? Would we have all of this if Parklands hadn't taken root 50 years ago and made some effort?
It's one of the most overlooked, I think, important parts of the foundation. The foundation's mission was not water quality. The foundation's mission has been, and always will be, the protection and restoration of natural native grounds along the Mackinac River. The Mackinac River, that's who we're protecting. Over the years, this became less circumstantial and more the whole purpose because of this river's quality. And it's one of the best canoeing rivers. It has phenomenal stands of pre-settlement timber. But yes, without question, a side effect of this 50 years of work is to make this river incredibly clean. Sometimes when we talk about protecting a river from agriculture, it sounds like we are holding agriculture accountable as a negative environmental force. Absolutely not. That is not the case. We need our agriculture in Central Illinois. It's one of the main backbones that we're built upon is our agriculture.
So you work in concert with agriculture?
We're starting to look at doing that. But what happens is a lot of these conversations when we talk about water quality always go back to, because look what agriculture is doing to our water quality. And it sounds as if we're pointing a finger and blaming them, when in fact, it's a fact of our area and our community that you're going to have agricultural pressure on your waterways. Instead of blaming our agricultural community, which we're not doing, we're trying to figure out ways to let them do what they do, which is feed the world and bring, you know, help our economy. And then what we do is we set up buffers along these waterways, what in fact might be a 400-acre gorgeous nature preserve, where we're giving some room for the river to let it cleanse all of the runoff before it gets into the river. And one of the major issues we're trying to bring to attention this year with our 50th is we have protected thousands of acres. And again, I think very few people in our community are aware of this. There's two main blocks of Parkland's properties. The one that is in McLean County approximates 2,000 acres in total protected ground. And the one that's in Woodford County, which is a spectacular wilderness, also approximates 2,000 acres. So with these two amazing properties, we've done this with very little. We had our first paid staff probably in the last decade and a half. Huge, huge input from the Illinois State University and Illinois Wesleyan University biology people. Legends of biology like Dale Birkenholz, who passed away, recently. Roger Anderson, still out there nationally, maybe internationally, the top guy in savanna restoration, which is all we're about. Angelo Caparella from ISU, Given Harper from Westland. Dina Green, Don Schmidt's a big Parklands guy. Little hometown WGLT name right there.
All righty.
You know, I've been heavily involved with this organization, wheeling and dealing, trying to make land deals, trying to acquire ground. But with what limited funding that we've had, the fact that we've been able to create these two amazing, these two beautiful corridors of natural ground with high, really top-notch restoration. We're not just buying it and letting it grow in with honeysuckle and autumn olive. We're out there actively bringing fire back, clearing these oak timbers, restoring prairies. And I think a lot of our community uses these areas, like the Murren Preserve up between Lexington and Gridley is probably the most popular preserve we have. The Murren Preserve gets a ton of hiking and ton of visiting and usage, and I think of a lot of those people don't realize that that's all because of this little organization that's turning 50 years old this year. John English, who is a very important part of Parkland's Foundation's life, just in a very simple statement, he referred to Parkland's as lots of land and a noble cause, and that's a pretty great summary of what we are. There's no chance of us ever acquiring all the ground we want. But a lot of landowners have a passion for their ground that they hate the thought that when they're gone, they're going to be up in heaven looking down at 18 homes on what was once this beautiful, rolling 100-acre piece of ground. And we have ways to protect that ground, but leave it in the private landowner's control.
Do you ever worry about politics these days interfering with your mission? The EPA temporarily stopped giving out grants and signing contracts. President Trump says he doesn't believe the science behind man-made climate change. Can this impact you at all? Can this trigger a culture change that might impact the Parklands Foundation negatively?
That's a really good question. One thing that Parklands has always managed to do, and if you were to look at the donors over the years who have really helped this organization out, many of them wouldn't be defined as liberal, environmental, tree hugging, whatever name tags you want to put on that particular demographic. And I think one of the things that Parkland's been able to do, especially in our community, as diverse as it is, over the years has probably been more of a Republican sort of conservative leaning community. Our point is to say, look, this isn't about being a tree hugger or not being a tree hugger. Almost everybody likes having a place to go hike. Almost everyone likes to know that something's happening to protect their water supply. And to be able to do that and not have politics involved is another reason to go give Parklands a hug, because we've managed to do that over these 50 years. We've managed to completely stay out of the politics. We have become involved in certain things. The Enbridge pipeline was a huge concern to us because it now runs underneath the Upper Mackinac. It has the potential to wipe out the entire river. So we were heavily engaged in discussions and involvement in that process. It's Bloomington Normal's mindset. It's the way this community takes care of its own. When you look at some of the small businesses that should have closed decades ago, but they're still open and they may not be thriving, but they're part of our community and we all love them and we're glad we're there. And Parklands is sort of that, is one of those businesses. It's just one that it's probably as much Parklands' fault as anyone's that we haven't really spent so much time introducing the community to us. But one way to look at Parklands is it's a small business providing a really incredible service to our community. With that in mind, I'm going to just put it out there and solicit your entire listening audience that anything helps our organization. A $10 donation helps. We have volunteer opportunities, which are a lot of fun to go out and use chainsaws and sharp objects and chop stuff down that doesn't belong in our preserves. Going on walks, hikes, just supporting us, learning more about us, knowing that we're out there. because we are a really important part of this community, whether anyone knows that or not. And the more we can get that out there, the better it is for Parklands.
That's Matt Fraker from the Parklands Foundation, which is celebrating its 50th anniversary this year. I'm Laura Kennedy.